Rocky Man is a production of the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, produced by Doug Greenberg and Jason Heats. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rocky Minute, and join our Facebook listeners group, Mighty Mix. You can also send us an email at rockyminute@gmail.com and tell us how great or how bad our podcast is. We have Rocky Minute t-shirts, coffee mugs, and notebooks, and other items for sale at our Rocky Minute page on tpublic.com. You can find our other great podcasts on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, showcasing the talents from the greatest era in action films. We can be found on any podcast app like Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and a comment. Special thanks go out to the creators of the Minute by Minute, format Alex Robinson and Pete the Retailer from Star Wars Minute. Go to moviesbyminutes.com to see a complete list of all the movies that got the Minute by Minute treatment. Thank you for listening. As Sylvester Stallone would say, keep punching.
Welcome back to Rocky Minute, the daily podcast where we analyze the movie Rocky 3 one minute at a time. I am Jason.
And I'm Doug.
And joining us today again, because he was here yesterday.
Yes, he was.
Joining us again is Craig. Welcome back, Craig.
Hey, guys. It's weird. It feels like at least a week since I've been with you.
It was a week.
But imagine it was just a day. Just one day.
And Craig is joining us today from some sort of bird sanctuary somewhere in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the bird habitat here in Las Vegas.
Nice.
Do you have the popsicle stick with the bird seed and the glue on it?
We don't do the homemade one. They actually sell those at PetSmart now.
Oh. You never went to a bird feeding place, Jay, where they have that?
No.
It's for the kids. You know, I bet little Lyle would be really into that right now.
Love the birds. They have a bird show at the Animal Kingdom in Disney World that when you're in Disney World, like, the last thing you think you want to go see is a bird show. Like, there's a lot to do there. There's a whole plate thing, you know, a whole lot of things that you can do. They're exciting, and you're like, a bird show. The bird show is awesome. Like, the birds fly like right at you, and then they turn like the last second. Like, they're amazing birds,
and they're real life. They're not like animatronic. No birds.
This is not like it's a small world birds. This is like real birds. Like, they're like, oh, it's amazing. What an amazing show.
Well, never heard that a bird show referred to as amazing before.
It's pretty amazing.
All right. Well, let's carry on.
Is it themed to anything? Is it like themed to a movie or
birds?
Wait, now for Hitchcock birds?
Craig, the show's about birds. That's the theme, birds.
No, but normally they tie it into a movie they can sell.
It's like a Disney thing.
Or a movie they already sold.
Rio? That's not a Disney movie.
No.
They're doing a lot of
Angry Birds. That's not a Disney movie.
They're doing now, Disney's like, at Disney World, like, the theme parks are like catching up to movies that are already, because they went through the theme parks are old, so they're based around the old Disney shit.
Yeah.
And now there's a lot of new Disney shit, and they're like playing catch up. Like, they just added like a Frozen ride, and
they like repurposed Mr. Toad's Wild Ride for Frozen.
I'm still trying to figure out where birds fit in.
And they're putting up like a Ratatouille ride now. Like, Ratatouille came out a long time ago. They're just
it's like over 10 years.
Yeah. What? One second. I'm just looking it up. Animal Kingdom bird show, new bird shows, Take Flight, it's called.
It's
not the Great Bird Adventure.
No, it's
oh, hold on. It looks like it might be Up.
No, yeah, Up. The movie Up, a Great Bird Adventure show.
You were there recently, huh?
I didn't see this Up. When I saw it, it was not Up themed. It was just a bird show.
So they finally figured out what they could tie it to. They're like, oh, Up, it's in the sky.
Right, exactly.
Birds of Flight, it was called. If you keep looking, you'll get the Birds of Flight. Awesome show, though.
All right.
Cool.
I don't know how to transition back to f***ing Rocky.
There is no, so you just got to do it
today.
When you went there, Jason, did you go with your kids?
When I saw the bird show, I saw it a long time ago. I don't think my son was with us. I think we were there with my brother and my nieces.
All right. Well, you might have some insight there. I've only been to the Disney parks as an adult with, you know, with a significant other. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the greatest times you can have. But I was wondering if it's still the happiest place on earth when you have a kid with you.
There's not enough time in this podcast for me to explain this to you. It's different, man. It's a different experience altogether. I've been to Disney World as adults. We used to go a lot when my nieces were really little, but they were my brother's kids, so I wasn't responsible for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could walk away.
Right. Going to Disney World with a kid is vastly different, man. The number one difference is you have to wait in line for the characters. That was like an aspect of Disney World that I didn't have to deal with. Like, I just went on the rides and ate the food. Now you have to wait in line for the characters, and you can't avoid them because you're like walking by and there's Pluto, and your kid's like, "Oh, I want to see Pluto. I want to see Pluto." You got to go wait for Pluto.
I mean, you have a lot of kids that are waiting in line for Pluto, Jay.
You see, Doug's setting me up because he knows. And I was just talking about this the other day. My biggest pet peeve in all of the world possibly is adults with no kids waiting in line for characters in Disney World. Because to an adult, like, they're like, "Oh, you know, there's Goofy. Let me take a picture with him," right? So they're going to get in line. Maybe them and their girlfriend, maybe they're like a bunch of like 20-something-year-olds and they're in Disney and they're waiting in line. It's going to be cute to take a picture with Goofy. Maybe like one of like Goofy stealing away the girl from the guy, or like pushing him out of the picture type of thing. And that's like cute and all, but 40 minutes behind you, I'm in fucking line with a crying 3-year-old in the blazing heat that just wants to take a picture of Goofy. And he thinks Goofy's real. He wants to meet Goofy. But you as an adult know that that's not really Goofy. That's someone in a Goofy costume. But
it's probably a teenage girl making minimum wage.
Right, right. But they go up to Goofy like Goofy's real. Like, "Hi, Goofy. Like, how are you today, Goofy?" And you're in the fucking line behind all these adults with your child, dude. And your child wants to meet Goofy, and he's crying. Like, he doesn't understand why he's got to wait in line to meet Goofy. And like I said, it's like 96 degrees. The humidity is like 100%. You're tired. You've been on your feet all day. And you got to wait for fucking Susan and Jack to and meet Aladdin and it's even worse when it's not the characters, when it's like human characters. So it's like when you go see like Anna and Elsa and they walk up and like, "Hi, Anna," and I'm like, that's just a fucking girl dressed like in an outfit.
It's cosplay. Yeah,
right. Like, that's, are you serious? But it's awful. That is the worst part of taking kids to Disney World, is the adults. I waited on we were at like a nighttime special event for the vacation club, and I'm walking, and we're walking through, and there was this line of all adults, like a long, long line. And I'm like, what the fuck is this line for? Like, this got to be for like beer? I don't know. Like, is this a strip club? Like, I don't know what this is. This is a long line of all adults. There was no children in this line. So finally, I get to the front of the line, and I'm like, it's the fucking dragon from Mulan, Mushu. Uh-huh. So I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, these people are waiting. These are adults waiting in line to, like, this is not a real dragon. This is a fake dragon.
But didn't you say, like, that character's never there?
So then my brother comes over. My brother's like a Disney expert. He's like, "Oh, no, that's Mushu. He's very, very rare. He doesn't come out in the parks or whatever." And I'm like, it's a fucking person in a dragon costume. Like, what do you mean he doesn't come out in the parks ever? Like, it's not a real dragon.
Unless it's a Chinese New Year.
It wasn't Chinese New Year, but it was like, "Oh, he's rare. You never see Mushu around." And I'm like, of course, because he's not real, so you don't can see him ever around. But sorry for all the cursing in this one, but
yeah, sorry I triggered you, Jason.
We haven't even gotten like even close to Rocky yet, and I've already got to bleep out about 12 curses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that dealing with that is the worst part of it. That's the difference between having kids and not having kids in Disney World.
Okay, let's get into it.
Right. So, Doug, when are you going to Disney?
Never. Never.
You say that, but the new Star Wars stuff that's coming out there is really...
I've asked the kids. They have no interest. You know where we're going? We are going to a beach in North Carolina next year.
But your son, Travis, is big into dinosaurs. They have like these...
He's not into dinosaurs anymore.
Oh, how? When he grew up? What's he into now?
He watches YouTube a lot. And Jay's gone.
Are you going to what part of North Carolina?
We are going to the Outer Banks. Nag's Head?
Okay. Yeah, we used to do a family before I moved to Vegas. Every other year we would do a trip, a family trip to Outer Banks. We'd like stay in like Kill Devil Hills.
Okay.
Like that area. I believe Nagshead isn't too far from there.
No, I think it's all part of like the same kind of like there's this different I guess once you cross one, you know, town line, it goes into the other, but I think they're all part of the Outer Banks, right?
Yeah, but I think the Outer Banks is pretty big.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
Have you ever been down there before?
No, this is going to be my first time, and that's like my kind of vacation. I'm a relaxing on the beach, getting drunk kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, it's 6.5 miles away from where we used to go.
Oh, there you go.
So they have the Wright Brothers Museum there, where they have like the big hill that the Wright Brothers did all their flying experiments on. Listen, that's really cool.
I'm going to stop you right there because I don't give a fuck about the Wright Brothers or sightseeing or history. I want to go sit on the beach and get drunk.
Yeah.
Is there any historical landmarks on the beach?
I don't think so. They have a lot of mini golf though too.
Oh, all right. Can I drink on mini golf?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Then I'm sold.
They have one mini golf down there where it's like a mine theme, and you ride in a mine car to get to the course.
He doesn't care.
Like Indiana Jones mine car?
Oh, maybe you have.
Yeah, but it's not out of control.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's good for the kids.
No, that's cool. That'll be a lot of fun.
We're sunblock. I got it.
Are you driving there?
Yeah.
For one thing I noticed is depending on what day of the week you go. Once you get to like off the main highway, like it's like a two lane road,
mm-hmm,
into like probably Nag's Head that you'll, you know, if it's like if you go on Saturday morning, you'll probably sit in like shitload of traffic.
Yeah, we actually plan on leaving about 10 or 11 o'clock the night before.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going to drive throughout the night and get into Nag's Head at like 7-8 a.m.
Sweet.
So hopefully I'll beat all that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that sounds like the way to do it.
Yeah.
As long as you have access to the house or the wherever you're staying.
Well, I mean, even still, we can kind of putz around throughout the town. You know, even
get drunk on the beach.
Yeah, you know it. All right.
All right, so today...
I got a hankering for vacation right now. I don't know about you guys.
You have a long wait for that. Long before that vacation, I will be in Disney World waiting in line to see f***ing Donald Duck behind a bunch of adults.
Mm-hmm.
So today, we're knocking out minute 12, which begins with Jive and ends with a crazy brother-in-law.
You're like a crazy brother.
You're like a crazy brother.
So, oh man, so I might have to go back to last minute.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we get the friends
don't know.
Yeah.
But we cut him off in the middle of a sentence. He said, you know, you forget when you were a punk. Hold on, now let me go back to minute 12 notes. And those guys used to laugh at you because you were so jive. Who used to whack them bums out? So that's Paulie saying that to Rocky. So punks used to laugh at Rocky because he was so jive. Now I know we're in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we asking ourselves? What does that mean? Punks used to laugh at you because you were so jive.
Anyone? What does that mean?
Anyone? I don't know. Craig is furiously typing over there.
I don't know.
Well, I did some. I searched on.
Oh, it means to tease, or fool, or kid.
Mm-hmm.
Stop jiving me. That might be Paulie's jiving reference.
I found one that jive as a noun would mean worthless or lame.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that all kind of I mean yours jiving and jive kind of fit together. I went to our good old friends, mm-hmm, at Urban Dictionary, and Jay, there was a lot. There was like 35 definitions for the word jive, and about 33 of them were racist. So we're not gonna read those. But I was wondering, was Rocky a victim of bullying? Now you have to. Now we're going back. So we're
There's
not
so many definitions though of jive, man.
We learn somewhere along the lines, Craig, that Rocky probably hooked up with Mickey around 15 or 16 years old.
Okay,
is that fair?
Sure.
So boxing trained Rocky isn't going to be a victim of any kind of bullying or anybody laughing at him, right? So does Paulie and Rocky know each other, like, in their teenage, like, early teenage years?
Didn't we talk about this before, though, right? Like, right? Didn't we talk about this yesterday or the day before or the day before? How there seems to be a whole, like, we don't know the relationship of Paulie and Rocky prior to Rocky 1. Like, was there, like, a whole, like, have they been friends for a long time and there was, like, a whole bunch of stuff that we don't know about?
Yes. I can't imagine that they were friends for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky seems like he has the personality type. I mean, look at how he interacts with the people he's collecting from. He doesn't seem like a real, real violent guy.
No, but you don't think that he would lash out if somebody was laughing at him for being
Rocky?
Yeah, for being jive.
I don't think Rocky would care because, as in Rocky One, when he's getting picked on by the reporters. You know, he initially says that stuff don't bother me. And then he tells Adrian it did later on, but he just ate it up. He just not ate it up. He ate it at the time.
And just like,
yeah, he even gets teased. He even gets teased by what? Gazzo's driver, too.
Yeah.
And it takes him a while to lash out at him, too.
Rocky's response to Paulie's jive and whacking them bums out comment was they laughed at both of us. So Paulie was the butt of many jokes also. And he didn't even realize it.
Or that's why Paulie was
whacking bums out.
Yeah, and he's trying to spin it, he was doing it for Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
But Paulie also yells out, like, he goes, "No one laughed at me." It, like, shows, like, he's, like, a proud guy. Like, Rocky, would probably be like, so what if they laughed at me? Who cares what they think? Kind of where Paulie would be mad if they were laughing at him because he's got a lot more pride or... he wears it on his sleeve, I would say.
Well, we're going to find out that things do hurt him. Here we get a clue that Adrian is not Rocky's first woman. Because apparently Paulie fixed Rocky up with his first woman. Woman.
What?
Paulie asked him, "Who fixed you up with your first woman?"
I thought he was referring to Adrian being his first woman.
Rocky says she was pregnant.
What? Go through that again.
Do you need to watch the minute again?
No. Say that again?
He says, "Who fixed you up with your first woman?" Rocky says, "She was pregnant." And then,
that seems on brand for Paulie.
And Paulie says, "So what? You was no prize either."
Oh, man. I missed that.
Jay needs to go back and watch the minute.
No, I just missed that.
No, I mean, yes, you can argue that he did fix Rocky.
So he set him up with somebody else first and then his sister?
Yeah, that's what I'm...
And he thought some knocked up...
Broad?
Trash was better than his sister?
I guess.
But did he really fix Rocky up with Adrian? I mean, Rocky was stopping by the pet store on a regular basis. Like, I think Rocky did a lot of the important legwork there.
No, you're right.
He got her interested. Paulie kind of facilitated, facilitated or forced the first meeting by saying, "Come over for Thanksgiving dinner."
But would it have ever happened? It would have never happened if it wasn't for Paulie. Like, yeah. Adrian needed to push.
Yes.
And I don't think she would have gotten it.
Because Rocky, as much of the work as Rocky put in, he wasn't really getting too much headway.
No.
So Paulie's bitter, mm-hmm. partly because Rocky bought a new house and moved Mickey in.
Right.
Yep.
But he never asked Paulie.
Right.
Now, again, Craig, didn't we talk about this last time? I mean, it's been a day or so I forgot. But Paulie...
Yeah, I'd asked if he was living with them already.
Uh-huh. But it's like Paulie doesn't want to work for anything. He just wants rich-ass Rocky to give him handouts, right?
He's a leech. I call those people a leech.
Well, I mean, that's part of his philosophy where, if friends do. So... he's one of the guys that would have been really great, like, if he was friends with, like, MC Hammer, who had, what, like, 70 or 80 guys on the payroll,
mm-hmm.
And that's how that happens. But Rocky, thankfully, had enough brains to not fall into that trap.
And not that, I mean, Rocky's not exactly making it rain. You know, he's not like some of these rich athletes, you know, these guys that sign big contracts is just buying extravagant shit and being surrounded by
like Rolexes and cars and leather jackets. And
well, yeah. Yes, he is doing that.
He was that guy in the beginning of Rocky II.
Yes, he was. He was.
Which we hated.
But he learned. So, I mean, not that Paulie deserves a handout or anything like that, but all he's done for Paulie is give him a watch. Right? Anyone? Anyone?
But yeah, no, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
he got him the job with Gazzo, right?
He did get him a job with Gazzo.
Yeah. Gave him his car.
And yes, and I agree that Paulie hasn't really done anything to earn much. But again, Rocky's making a ton of money, and he's not really spending it extravagantly. He's not, okay. I mean, he does own a Maserati and...
Mm-hmm. And that trench coat.
And the trench coat. I don't know. I keep thinking about like athletes. Remember that documentary Broke?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that one, Craig?
I did not.
It's who was the like a couple of big names in that? Andre Rison. There was a few big 1980s athletes.
Yeah, but there was
And it's all about like how these athletes that sign these huge contracts have declared bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
Not long after retirement, because they weren't ever taught how to manage their money, and they just bought extravagant shit for their friends and family, houses and cars, and just $10,000 here, $20,000 there.
Did that happen to MC Hammer, who we talked about earlier, who was mentioned already once?
He had a ridiculous payroll, and it's just he couldn't. You know, there was a point where more money was going out than coming in.
So it doesn't seem like Rocky has that problem. So, I mean, yeah, again, Paulie didn't do really much to earn a slot in a space in Rocky's house. But, I mean, would you throw the guy a bone?
It's your brother-in-law, right?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but also, I mean, was Rocky fighting more than most boxers at that time? It feels like he fought a lot.
10 title defenses in 3 years.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah, I would think that's a lot.
I mean, most boxers fight twice a year if they're lucky.
For 5 years? I don't even think it's that much. Because you're not really creating a buzz if you're fighting that often. You know what I mean? Like Floyd Mayweather fights once every like 2 or 3 years now.
Yeah. So even if you say the average is like every 15 months, that's 10 title defenses in 3 years is...
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, so I mean, he probably had a greater revenue stream than most of his contemporaries.
Right, not to mention his endorsement deals that we saw.
I think, you know, your brother-in-law, you know, if you're in a position, you should probably throw him some kind of bone. I mean, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, at least set him up for success. You know, whether it's give him a job or give him a, you know, place or buy him a nice suit. I don't know.
But, I mean, would it get to a point where you're throwing good money, you know, after or, you know, good money after bad in the sense that, like...
Wasting it?
Yeah, I mean, is Paulie really ever going to be able to, you know, take an opportunity and exploit it, you know, in his favor?
You do want him to...
I think that, Paulie's not the kind of guy that you're going to teach how to fish. He just wants the fish, you know? Just give me all the fish. Let me eat the most expensive, best fish.
Mm.
But Paulie, I'll show you how to fish. I don't want to learn to fish. I just want to eat the fish.
So Paulie wants to eat for today, not eat for life.
Yes, yes, yes.
I got you.
Why didn't Paulie just go to the pawn shop and sell the X-Lax watch? He probably would have gotten some money for that.
Instead of spiking it on the ground?
Well, yeah, I mean, the resale on a Rolex is pretty good.
But, right, but that's another, like, Paulie hasn't, the few things that Rocky has given him, he hasn't been very appreciative of.
Like, yeah, so that almost supports the argument that Rocky knows that, like, it will never be enough with Paulie.
Right.
Right, he knows that.
And I think Rocky has a point, too, with the whole, you know, friends don't, you know, I mean, we all know what it's like to be friends. I think Rocky was a little harsh with the way he delivered it, and that kind of seems like it's just a message that Stallone wanted to convey, and he finally found an opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? That might be a really great point.
You know, I mean, he's made this speech a couple of different ways. You know, in Over the Top, it's, you know, nobody meets you halfway. You know, in Balboa, it was, you know, life's not about how hard you can get hit, but mm-hmm. How hard you can get hit and get back up. So, I mean, this is the same kind of, you know, it's the same message, but it's just delivered differently here.
All right. So Paulie's talking about his feelings, like, I got feelings, and he says this ain't cardboard. And he's holding up his tie, but I think we mean, you know, his heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to script, Jay. I know you love it, mm-hmm. so I'm going to go it. So we go to the, you know, to hell with you. Paulie says, you want me to say something? You got it. I'm saying that you've been keeping me down. I'm saying you forgot who your friends are. And I'm saying you've been trying to make me look like a loser in front of my sister. Rocky tells him, you still don't get it. The truth is, we started out on the same corner. I got real lucky with everything, and it's driving you nuts because as long as I was a bum, you always had somebody you could feel better than. Right, Paulie? That's where it's at. And jobs? I got you 10 jobs, and you blew them all because you don't want to work. Mm-hmm. What you want is what everybody else has got. Yo, it don't work that way. I mean, that's just a couple of lines of a little more insight. So Rocky has tried to help him by getting him jobs. Rocky has used his influence a little bit, but Paulie just, again, we go back to Paulie just wanting the handouts.
I would like what you just read to be in the movie.
That I would too.
Mm-hmm.
I know you don't totally agree with all the script reading and stuff, but
no, there's sometimes you read from the script and I'm like, I'm glad they left that out because you don't need it. And there's times you read from the script and I'm like, I wish that was in the movie. Like that could have helped the storyline, right. Especially in Rocky II, there was a lot of gaps that I think could have been filled with things from the script.
Right.
And then there's times you read the script and I want to slit my throat right here in my basement.
It's like
bleed 90, all over the 90, table. 10. Like just die here.
But also, like, how important to the, you know, the overall arc of this movie is, you know, this friction between Rocky and Paulie?
I would say this is just a tool to get to, like, the bumbling, lovable Paulie that we get to know from here on out.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think it's relevant to this movie, correct?
Right.
I think it's, like, Rocky IV and then Rocky V when he fucks up. This, it might, I don't know.
Paulie in Rocky IV was comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Paulie was involved in or said in Rocky IV is funny and hilarious, and I love every bit of it.
Yeah.
I think this Paulie could have been the transition between Rocky I, drunken, angry, to, like, Rocky II, Paulie was kind of, he was doing his own thing. He was thin. He was working, albeit for Gazzo, and he was breaking legs or whatever. But, I mean, he was in a good space in Rocky II.
But this,
and then we take a huge step back here.
Is this important enough, though, to start the movie with it? And like I said last time, not only do they kind of shoehorn it in, but they bring up this situation and they resolve it in the first 12 minutes of the movie.
And it's never mentioned
and
again.
Then it's done with. It's finished for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I think if Stallone had made this movie like 3 years later, he would have just done a montage to fill his time.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying Stallone loves a good montage?
Well, when you guys get to Rocky IV, I can't wait to hear those minutes.
Oh, those are going to be some good minutes because I love montages.
Yeah, I mean, does it feel forced? I wouldn't say it's forced, but it's we want to get to, I don't know. We want to get to where, you know, Paulie has a job on Rocky's team and he's kind of like the comic relief. Do you need this to get there? From where we left Rocky II, I would say no, but here we are.
Yeah.
I don't know how we are.
And I think we might have referenced it on one of the earlier minutes, but I think we determined that possibly this scene was also more to show the changes that Rocky had gone through.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think you could have stretched it out a little more into the movie. This Paulie Rocky thing and like resolved it later on and made it, it's kind of like they didn't commit to this being a major part of the plot, because they resolved it so quickly, right. but yet they felt the need to have it there. And I feel like I'm kind of in between. I wish they would have either not did it or extended it throughout the movie a little longer.
Yeah.
Right.
I would agree.
Yeah, totally.
Rocky's response, though, is one of the smartest things he has said up to this point. When he says, you talk like everybody owes you a living. Nobody owes nobody nothing. You owe yourself. Mm. And that's when Paulie says, friends owe.
Mm-hmm. Friends owe.
Rocky rebuts, friends don't owe. They do because they want to do. So, I mean, yeah, I would say, like, just because somebody makes it big, you don't owe anybody anything.
Right.
I mean, would you even say you owe the people that helped you get there?
Yes.
Okay, but not just people who didn't.
Apparently you don't.
It's just a discussion point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you, in a sense, if you come from nothing and you make it big, and there were people that were there for your journey, mm-hmm. They all play a role. If they play a big enough role in your life and they played a role in who you become, then yes, you do owe them something, I think.
Okay.
It's a village. But yeah, so I don't know. Paulie's attitude is...
But, I mean, didn't Rocky kind of do that by giving him the X-Lax watch?
Yeah, that could have been like a thank you. Thank you for helping me out. Yeah. But
it wasn't enough for Paulie. Like, that's one of the things that Paulie misses is, you know, Rocky did something for him and it didn't mean anything to him.
Yeah, it's true. I agree.
Like, how far are you... Like, what are you as a recipient? Are you looking for something... like that you can hold in your hand and say, wow, this was expensive, or some kind of gesture? Like, what's more important?
As long as it seems genuine, right?
Yeah, you know, I've never received a gift that great, so I can't really tell.
I think but Paulie, like, again, I go back, what did Paulie do for Rocky? If nothing, like, he really hasn't.
No.
But if you did help somebody, like, a lot get through, I think you would need both. Like, I think a watch would be a nice, like, hey, man, here's a nice watch. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Mm-hmm. But that's not the it. Like, I would want some future gesture. Just, you know, the watch could be part of the whole thing, but not the thing that you get.
Well, I think...
You know what? All of a sudden, I want Stallone to make Rocky 7.
Oh, come on.
Just so we can get, you know, like in Rocky V, they did that flashback where Rocky gets the boxing necklace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Rocky VII, imagine we do a black and white flashback scene where we show Rocky giving Paulie the watch and he gives a great speech.
You think it would hold the same weight as the necklace? Okay. I'm listening.
We could do...
That's all I got.
We could do it in a Rocky prequel about how he meets Paulie and Rocky and Paulie's relationship growing up, and the giving of the watch could be a foreshadowing.
Could we call it Paulie?
Paulie.
Or do you call it, what is it, Panino?
Panino, there you go. Call it Panino. Like how the Mickey prequel is going to be called Goldmill. Oh, man. This is going to turn into like a Star Wars kind of universe where this is never going to end for us. And it better end. But when Paulie keeps telling Rocky to shut his mouth after every point that Rocky makes, which is like, you know, Jay, that's a classic sign that you're losing an argument when you just tell the other person to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocky tells him you're like a crazy brother to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, so does everyone have that family member that makes situations uncomfortable, who flies off the handle easily, the kind of guy that you got to like walk on eggshells, guy or girl that you got to walk on eggshells around?
Oh, totally.
Not just me. You don't have that? Jake, don't sit here and tell me you don't have that.
I was going to say I don't have that, and then I got worried, like, is it me?
If you can't identify that family member, you are that family member.
I don't really have that family member, I don't think.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't.
Jay's got the perfect family, Craig.
No, I just don't think I have that.
Nope, that's what I heard.
I think I'm it, actually.
You might be. Which, at that point, Jay's perfect family brings us to the end of minute 12. Does it? Yeah, it does. That's all the notes I have. Craig, do you have anything we didn't discuss? You don't have notes. You don't take notes. I forgot who I'm talking to here. Jay is furiously looking through his chicken scratch. You're good? Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know, Craig, if we did this yesterday or not, but I mean, you are one quarter of the illustrious Slycast.
Yeah.
How's that going, by the way? Anything, any updates you want to let us in on?
Yeah, I think last time we may or may not have talked about it on air. I don't know. But, you know, we're trying to find a way to get all four of us on the internet at the same time so we can talk some Sly movies. We're in the dog days of the 90s. So there's, you know, some bad stuff coming up, but nobody I'd rather do it with than Mike and Jeff and Jeff. So, you know, keep an ear out. And at the same time, two other guys I love podcasting with in addition to you are, you know, you and Ryan when we sit down once a month for our three Rocky hosts, one movie breakdown. And that's been a lot of fun. So,
yeah, that seems to be going pretty good.
Yeah, if only the listeners would start giving us some good movies to talk about.
They like to see us suffer, but just think, if they let us suffer enough, there's nothing but blue skies then from there on out.
Yeah, but at that point is our spirit broken, and we've expended all our energy on the shit movies.
This last one might have broken our spirit. To be completely honest. Well, listen, folks, all of those Stallone Podcast Network episodes featuring myself, Craig, right here, and our buddy Ryan from the Going the Distance podcast, we get together and do these Stallone movie reviews, and you can find them on all three of our feeds, as well as YouTube under Stallone Podcast Network or Sylvester Stallone Podcast Network on YouTube. So go check those out and, you know, vote for our movies because we really, really love doing these. And we're going to continue until one of us dies.
Oh, goodness.
So join us tomorrow. We have Craig for one more minute. And we'll see you tomorrow on a brand new episode of Rocky Minute.
Yeah.
So he's more of a build up, where Paul, he's probably more of a just short fuse. Just get. Is everything okay over there, Craig?
this is life in Las Vegas, close to the Strip.
You know what, Craig? I'm beginning to think that you summon the police whenever you're recording with us.
If you're playing Craig Podcast Bingo, check off the box.